Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with CrossandThrown.com. Thank you for joining us today. We're going through this wonderful letter of Ephesians, and I hope you've been studying along with us. Today we're going to finish the first section. As you recall, we divided up the first 14 verses, from verses 3 to 14, we call it the Charter of the Church, and from verses 3 to 6, we have the Father's purpose. It ends with praise and glory. We have verse 7 through 12 is the work of the Son of God, and it ends in praise and glory, and we saw verse 13 and 14 is the seal of the Spirit, and it ends in praise and glory. This is a full section. This is the Charter of the Church, friends. This is our Sermon on the Mount. If we would just recognize that the Sermon on the Mount, leave it in its place for Israel. In the Sermon on the Mount, the children of Israel are inheriting the earth. They enjoy the allotment of the land. In Ephesians, we members of the body of Christ are blessed with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. What a difference. And I hope you're enjoying these and seeing these distinctions in Scripture. Now, we are in verse 6, and we're going to stop. We're going to end here. We're going to pause a few moments. But Paul says this. In verse 5, he says, in love designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will, for the laud or applause of the glory of his grace, which graces us in the beloved. And I'm reading again from the Concordant Literal New Testament. By the way, friends, if you need copies of these, we have them on our website. This is the translation of choice here because of its accuracy in taking a Greek word and translating it to English consistently. Well, in this passage here, we saw that God had a motive, and it's love. In love, he designated us, the members of the body of Christ, for the place of his son. Just like Israel was God's firstborn on earth among all the other nations, thus we, members of the body of Christ, have the place of a son above all other of God's redeemed family. And it says, for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus. Now, the question is, why did God do it? Did God look down from heaven and decide, well, you know, those members, those people who believe in Christ under Paul's ministry, those people are just so good that I have to bless them to pay them back for their goodness. No, that wasn't it at all. God was pleased to do it. It says here that it was in accord with the delight of his will. It had nothing to do with our works. It had to do with his own heart. All the blessings we have in Christ are because of God's own heart. He found all the motivation in his own heart. And here it says, for the delight, in accord with the delight of his will. God was pleased to do it. Boy, what conceptions of God we've learned from Christianity. Now, what I mean by Christianity is the cult of Christianity that presents God as an angry God all the time, 24 hours a day. But here's a God in the Bible that has a delight. We saw in verse 3 that God has blessed us, and that word means to speak well or well speaking. Here it's his delight, well seem. It was delight, the delight of God to choose us. It was in accord with the delight of his will. This is God's will. And then it says, for the laud of the glory of his grace, which graces us in the beloved. Now, remember, we talked about that word being applause, and we saw in here that we're going to stand back and applaud God. This is God's work being done here. And it says here, for the laud of the glory of his grace. Now, God's grace here is connected with glory. God has taken us, sinners from among the Gentiles, justified us in Christ, positioned us in Christ, is dead, buried, and resurrected in him, and exalted us to the right hand, according to Ephesians 2, as we're going to see. And so there is glory connected with God's grace. God's grace pours out the best gifts for us who live today under Paul's ministry. And there's glory connected with that. And we're going to find that in Ephesians we have a lot about glory. And then he goes on to say, which graces us in the beloved. Now that phrase is interesting. This phrase, which graces us, as the Concordant version reads. Now this Greek word is only used in one other place. And this is found in Luke 1:28. Now, friends, this is important. So I'm going to ask you to turn there with me. In Luke 1:28, it says this, This is regarding Mary when the angel Gabriel appeared to her to tell her. We'll read from verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the messenger Gabriel was dispatched from God to a city of Galilee, which is named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name is Joseph, of the house and kindred of David. And the name of the virgin is Miriam. And entering to her, the messenger said, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed you are you, blessed among women." You notice it says, "Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. You, blessed among women." Now that phrase, "favored one," is the same phrase used in Ephesians 1, where Paul talks about us being graced in the beloved. And I think in both of these passages, we can probably translate this the same way by saying, "highly favored," highly favored. We have been highly favored. Now, in Mary's case, what did that mean? How was she highly favored? When Mary was showed this grace, did that mean that she was the only saved woman in Israel? No, it had nothing to do with that. There were many godly women in Israel, including Elizabeth, who had John the Baptist. But Mary had a position of favor that was even greater than Elizabeth's. Mary had the privilege of bearing the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel. And so she had a position that, from what I understand from reading some of the historical context regarding Jewish women, they all wanted to bear the Messiah. Well, Mary had this position. Mary had this grace showed to her. Mary wasn't the only believer in Israel, but she had a position higher than them all. And just so you and I, friends, those of us who are members of the body of Christ, David was a believer, and so was Solomon and many Old Testament saints, and you and I are believers. But you and I today have a position higher than that of David or Solomon. It says that God has graced us or highly favored us in the beloved. Notice that phrase, the beloved. It doesn't say in Christ. It says in the beloved. God's affections are directed toward his Son. And you and I have been highly favored in the one in whom he finds all his love and desire. Highly favored. Friends, you and I have been given a position in Christ above all other of God's redeemed company that will live in the past and will live in the future. And so let's just close. I'm going to read again this passage. Let's just read verse 3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight, in love designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will, for the applause of the glory of his grace, which highly favors us in the beloved. Wasn't that marvelous, friends? Well, wow. What a tremendous, tremendous. Was that wonderful? Tremendous. Woo! God, what a work you've done. Oh, I can't believe it. Woo! Yes. Friends, enjoy him this week. We've been highly favored. See you next time.